Whose gospel is it anyway? This is a teaching from Holy Spirit, who wants to reveal to us not only the deluding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the perversion, the mixing, the leavening, and the truth of whose gospel it really is. First of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. He says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So the first thing that we must understand about whose gospel is it anyway is that it doesn't belong to man. It doesn't belong to the world. The gospel, the truth of what Jesus Christ came to be born, to die for, to be buried for, to be resurrected for, belongs to the Spirit of the living God. It is His gospel, not ours. It is because of the Father's love that we even have a gospel to preach. And it is not man's wisdom. So many in the body are either frightened of the Holy Spirit, have been told he's another spirit, have been told you can't invite him into a meeting, have been told, well, he's already in the meeting since we're there, if we're believers in Jesus Christ and been born again, but to invite him to come and dwell with us, not only in us, but with us in those words that we will speak, in his presence, is not something that is wrong. That is how people actually come to faith, because the Spirit of the living God actually draws them. It says also that the Father draws people to the Son, and the Son draws people to the Father. It is by the Spirit of God that this drawing occurs. So the gospel is not a commodity. It is not something we sell. It is not something that we try to get people to purchase. It is not something we try to convince them of in our own words or wisdom. Paul makes it really clear to the Corinthians. These things we also speak, he says in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The problem with how many people have shared the gospel is that the focus is no longer on Christ and his cross and what he came to do for humanity, redeem the whole world. It says in 1 John 2, verse 2, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." He didn't just come to save believers. Once we are believers and we've been born again, we are saved. We are in Christ. He came to save the lost. So if believers are hiding in their little four walls, whether it's a church or a home fellowship or any other type of meeting, we are failing the gospel, failing our commission, failing to please, honor, and serve God Almighty. Then there's another set of believers where, rather than it being about the gospel of his glory of salvation, the entire emphasis is on miracles and signs and wonders. So yes, they are going out. Yes, they are being with other people, people who are lost, people who are the unsaved, who do not know Christ yet. But the emphasis is on, let me show you his power. Whether or not that's going to convince someone in their heart, in their conscience, that they actually need Christ is a whole nother matter. And if it's about numbers or the magnificence and splendor and the spectacular, if that's what our focus is, let me tell you how many miracles I saw today. And so often when people are speaking it, they're not saying what he did. They're saying, I saw this happening. I saw a healing. I saw, the idea is, oh, I don't want to be proud in myself. But where's the mention of God? Who made that healing occur? Certainly not by our own hands. In and of ourselves. It is, we are earthen vessels, and the excellence of the power is his, not ours. If we do lead someone to Christ, what is the platform, the foundation that they began their journey with him? Is it because they got something in terms of a healing or a miracle? And it's been left there. Oh, God is good. He's given me all these goodies. Oh, so therefore I'll follow him. What happens when the goodies apparently or seem to run out? What happens when there's trials, as there will be? What happens when there's trouble, as he promised that we would have trouble in this world? But he said what? Be of good courage. Take heart. I have overcome the world. How? In us. When things happen that go awry, that don't go as we expected, that are, whether they are surprises, whether they're from poor decisions, whether they're from the enemy, whether they're a test, whom are we leaning on? The fact that we had a healing 10 years ago? Or the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ? He lives in our hearts, Spirit of the living God, in us. Who can walk us through any trial, who can help us to overcome any difficulty. We want them to know the love of God and be in love with God. We cannot make that happen, but we are responsible for how we share him and whose gospel it is. Do we claim it's ours? Do we pretty it up? Do we change it so it'll be palatable to their taste? Or do we tell them the raw truth of what he did? And it is so easy. We only need to look at the scriptures to see what Jesus said. He had many ways that he shared why he had come. Yes, there were times when he did healings. Yes, there were times when there were miracles. There were also times when he simply was there and someone was brought to him. For instance, the adulteress. To be judged and stoned. There was no miracle there per se. The miracle was that he didn't condemn her, that he gave her his grace so that she would not sin again. She was face to face with God himself. And he pardoned her. That was the miracle in that instance. That is the miracle for all of us. We've been pardoned from sin by the death of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want those that don't know him to know. We want them to know it's for life. That this is not some hit or miss comment they are making or commitment. Today I'm with God, tomorrow I'm not. And of course, each one is going to make that decision because there are always the four soils, the rocky, the thorns, the soil where the seed doesn't even get implanted in the ground, and then, of course, the good soil, which we all want to be. And we want to breed that kind of good soil. The seeds that we plant, we want them. And we can pray that. We can ask the Holy Spirit. We are just human beings. And yes, we have the power of the living God living in us, but we are still human beings who have to rely on him for everything, for our breath, for our moment-to-moment choices, for our tomorrows. So he wants us to know when we plant a seed for Christ Jesus, we pray over that seed. for it to sprout, for him to bring it life. Because only the Spirit of the living God can bring life to the dead spirit of a man or woman or child. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 2-5, where Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." This power is not simply in demonstrating miracles and signs and healings. It's the power of the gospel itself. He says the power of the gospel is within what Jesus Christ did. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We think we have to make some grand presentation, whether our own clever words, because we are so often in love with our own wisdom, which of course God says is foolishness, or because we think the gospel itself doesn't have enough power. Now, if Holy Spirit leads us to pray for someone, for a healing or a miracle, or any other thing, we do so out of obedience to him, whether we see the result or we don't see the result. Our job is to be obedient. But we should not come to think of the gospel of Christ not good enough, not powerful enough, not strong enough to draw men. Now, if the person is not drawn that time, or if they are never drawn, we cannot be the ones drawing them by trying to change the message of the gospel. We simply tell them the truth. If he tells us to speak to certain ones with a great fervor, a great exhortation, even with some harsh words, there are times he will ask us to do that. I've had that where someone will be drunk on the street and he's exhorted them. Not only do they get sober, but they get saved. Not because of my wonderful words, but because he spoke through me in the way that I allowed him to. If I had said, "No, Lord, I must say it like this," that person may not have been saved. We have to be that obedient. I am not saying we never make a mistake. If we do, this is how I handle it. If I know I've made a mistake about how I've shared the gospel, I just sense it in my spirit, something was off, I ask him to forgive me and to redeem it so the person isn't ill-affected, but so that he uses it. For what the enemy meant for evil, he means for good. Let us not be ashamed of the truth of the gospel. Sometimes we've been Christians for so many years, we don't even know what the gospel means. So how can we preach what we do not know? If we look up in the Greek the word gospel from that last verse we just read, and it has a very strange pronunciation, euangelion, it means literally the good news. The good news of the coming of the Messiah. God's good news. That's what it means. That's what we're preaching. The good news. What's the good news? We can't just preach you're going to hell. That's not good news. That's bad news. We need to preach who came so you wouldn't have to. But we also don't just make it God loves you and everything is going to be okay. No, Jesus Christ came. I was reading it the other day. The Holy Spirit led me to John 3. And it's amazing, you know, how many times have we read John 3:16 or perhaps just the whole chapter? And as I was reading the whole chapter, I loved that it was Jesus Christ himself who spoke of what the gospel was. It's in the red letters. And in John 3:15, even before 16, he says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then he repeats it in 16. 16 is the one most people know. He repeats it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ should not perish but have everlasting life. Now within that truth, there are so many varieties, but this isn't the watering down or the prettying up. There are so many ways, let's use it that way, various ways that the Holy Spirit will lead us to speak to other people about this truth. For some, he may want us to be tender because they're so broken already. They're on the verge of complete meltdown. For others, they're so arrogant, so hard, so angry, and he may actually tell us to be forceful. We can't predetermine that. All we have to do is say, Holy Spirit, this is your mouth now. Speak the oracles of God, for you are God, to lead this person to salvation in Jesus' name. It is that simple. It doesn't have to be that prayer, but that's an example. We just yield to God. Because it isn't our wisdom. It's made very clear, so many scriptures. It's not our wisdom that convinces mankind to come to salvation. It's the power of the gospel. It's the truth of what he did. As he said again in 1 Corinthians 2:13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's the only way we can really share the gospel in truth. He says we are to worship God in spirit and truth. The words that he spoke were spirit and life. We are to speak those words too. Not by pre-planning and rehearsing, but by simply allowing him to pour through us. Sometimes when recently he showed me to wrap up these little gold parcels, and I would never have done anything like this except that he told me to do it. So it's not, again, to sweeten the gospel. It's just a way to actually open a door to share the truth of the gospel. And so put the lollies in, wrap them up in gold paper, really nice gold paper that, you know, to make it look like, you know, you're important enough for me to spend a little money on. And I'm not saying that's what I want them to think about me and spending money, but not just something that's just junk, the cheapest thing I could find, but something that would be beautiful because he is the most beautiful gift. And then to have a note on it written out, what the true meaning of Christmas is, how he came to save them, how if they believe in him, as Jesus Christ said, they shall not perish but have eternal life. Will they choose? Sometimes on the cards he's asked me to place that. If you choose, will you choose this day, the day of salvation? Depends on what he tells me to say. And then to give them to the people. He's had it to be to the point where I've cried right after I've given it because his heart is so desirous for the lost. That is why he came. It is who we once were. It is whom they still are. We are the bride of Christ. There are others that will be his bride. Until he comes in the clouds and we meet him in the air, until that day, until that moment, We are to be working in his vineyard, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because the gospel belongs to God. And it is to be shared to all mankind. So let's pray so that we can be his living epistles. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so honored to be your children. We ask you now that you would show us through your dear Holy Spirit how to share the good news of Jesus Christ in such a way that people would be drawn to him, would give their lives, would repent and turn to the living God, and would be the bride of Christ along with us in the glorious and mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.